All over the world, people are choosing to pick up and leave their countries to seek refuge or asylum in safer ones. From Syria and Ukraine to Venezuela, Honduras, and Haiti, some 82.4 million people who have been forcibly displaced worldwide must make the decision to leave everything they've known in search of a better life. Many of them end up here, in Tapachula. It's a city of about 350,000 people, less than 20 miles from Mexico's border with Guatemala, and over 2,000 miles from the border town of Nogales in the United States. The population here swells by the thousands every year, the majority migrants passing through this checkpoint into the rest of Mexico. Many have eventual plans to reach the U.S., but all have to wait in the city for government immigration offices to process their requests. The influx of migrants and refugees is overwhelming these offices, so it can be months before people get the necessary appointments with them, and before they'll authorize people to work or leave the city. Public parks are now sleeping grounds, local shelters are at capacity, and tensions only seem to rise. This is the site of one of the largest humanitarian crises in the Western Hemisphere right now, and about a third of those stranded here are children, less than 18 years old. Some kids traveling with parents or older family members are able to find space in one of the city's shelters. To protect their identities, everyone in this story will be referred to by first name only. Carlos is a 16-year-old from Honduras, and he's one of those fortunate enough to have a place to stay. Carlos has been in Tapachula for a little over a week, traveling with his 23-year-old cousin to meet family in Puebla, further north in Mexico.
My case has been difficult. It was sudden, but with God's help, I've kept going.
He spends his days at Hospitalidad y Solidaridad, a shelter for refugees and asylum seekers. He and his cousin made the trip through Guatemala on foot in a day and a half.
Dos o tres días hubo como un ataque de ansiedad o depresión.
Two or three days ago, I had an anxiety attack or depression because I hadn't had time to process everything that had happened. Then it hit me, running out and not being like a locked-up prisoner. But now, thank God, I have calmed down and I have no choice but to come here with my parents. And because of the circumstances, I can't return.
His parents and sisters left 8 or 9 months earlier to get permanent residence and documentation and passed through this same shelter on the way. We're sitting at a picnic table outside the shelter and talking as other kids come and go when Carlos describes what brought him here.
Well, because of gang threats. My dad apparently had problems with them, but it had been mostly because of misunderstandings. And I had no choice but to come here to look for my dad.
Directors at the shelter, Angie and Nimsi, said Carlos's father has to come here to Tapachula from Puebla to go through a formal family reunification process with immigration officials. Carlos is one of tens of thousands waiting in the city to be processed in Mexico's immigration system. The city reported receiving more than 130,000 asylum seekers in 2021 alone. For reference, the monthly number of refugee status applications received by the Mexican Commission for Aid to Refugees, or COMAR, went from about 6,000 in 2019 to almost 11,000 applications every month in 2021. An overwhelming number of refugees and asylum seekers here now are originally from Haiti and have been traveling through South American countries like Brazil, Colombia, and Venezuela over the last decade. In 2019, COMAR reported that less than 10% of asylum seekers were Haitian, and by 2021, there were over 130,000 applicants, and nearly 40% of them were Haitian.
They sell us everything more expensive, even the house, the apartment. The rent, you know, is much more expensive because you're an immigrant.
Freddie arrived several months ago, in August of 2021. And is one of two Creole translators working in the city to help other Creole-speaking Haitians, many of them with children, through the Mexican immigration process.
Most of them, you know, been here for 8 months, 1 year. So if you have no document, you're not able to go to school, to get a proper health care. You have nothing. It's like, they tell you here, you're not the person.
Freddie says, for parents of young kids, securing a safe place to sleep or even finding their next meal are the daily challenges. So enrolling migrant children in school is not really an option until their documentation is in order.
I can say not even 5%, you know, of migrant kids go to school here. Not even 5%.
And he says because they don't have the ID.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Haiti has seen more than its fair share of political and environmental disasters in the last year, including the assassination of Prime Minister Jovenel Moïse and a massive earthquake quickly followed by Tropical Storm Grace. Refugees who have made it to Tapachula, however, have been traveling through South America after an earthquake that displaced over 1.5 million people in 2010. And now that they're here, Haitian migrants face extreme xenophobia and racism from locals. We talked to many Black migrants who told us that they were experiencing discrimination when looking for jobs, housing, and immigration services. Officials in Tapachula have defended the government's treatment of Black migrants. They've said the system is overwhelmed and lacks resources, including translators who can help those who don't speak Spanish. In mid-July, COMAR official Cynthia Perez Trejo told Cronkite News in an email there is no difference in treatment for migrants seeking refugee status. The United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees provides legal aid and other resources to some migrants depending on their vulnerability. That office has said they're adding Creole interpreters, scheduling and facilitating appointments with COMAR, and building a labor integration program to alleviate some of the pressure.
How long do people usually wait before they can get their papers or any kind of meeting with COMAR and the immigration office?
Well, the thing is...
Is it different for different people?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Because if you are Black, you wait longer.
We're sitting in the small chapel outside Casa del Migrante Scalabrini Albergue Belén, a shelter that's well exceeded its 150 beds. It's midday, and the chapel floor is littered with sleeping cots, and backpacks full of clothes fill the pews. Several families sit under the chapel roof in the rain. Nati, a 28-year-old mother from Haiti, has been here for 9 months awaiting documents. Her and her family were denied humanitarian visas in December and had to start the application process over again. She says it's hard for Black migrants to get help from immigration services.
It was difficult at COMAR because for so much waiting, they gave me a negative result. It was very difficult for us. It's like we are here with nothing. Because we have nothing, because we are without papers. When a Black person goes to get help, they don't give it to you. And if you're white, they do give it. I've asked UNHCR for help 3 times. All 3 times they've told me no.
Nati, her husband Panchi, and their 2-year-old daughter Ana spent 2 years in Brazil before passing through the Darien Gap, the extremely dangerous jungle between Colombia in South America and Panama in Central America. What was it like traveling with a small child?
It was very difficult.
Why?
Because we encountered many things, a lot of danger and risk to get here. In all the countries it was hard, but here it was the most difficult. Everything takes longer, longer to move up. This country has been the hardest. We have passed through 10 countries and had the most difficulty here in Mexico. They don't understand that to get here, we've come far. We've been in the jungle, in the rain, risked our lives. They don't understand this.
Nati and her family want to make it to Tijuana, but all they've been able to do is wait and watch as others, mostly Central Americans, come in and out of the shelter.
When you're here, you have to wait. Appeal a case for another year. That's going to be 2 years. And wait a year just to be told no. And then a year here in the shelter. Another year. Which is 2 years here without work, without anything, another family, with more children. It's unfair. And for you to appeal a case and get a result, not again. It's not fair.
In March of 2022, Mexican President Andrés Manuel López Obrador, AMLO for short, visited Tapachula. While a couple hundred migrants protested outside the press conference tent, AMLO presented a plan to address the crisis. AMLO suggests attacking the root causes of migration by stimulating the economies of the countries of origin. As for an immediate solution to address the flood of refugees sleeping in public parks, some carrying large wooden crosses and sewing their mouths shut in frustration, that wasn't really brought up. AMLO did say he'll give out 950 humanitarian visas to refugees, a status that takes months to achieve. But immigration and the United Nations humanitarian aid offices continue to amass crowds by the early hours of the morning as thousands of refugees demand action. All remain without work or clearance to leave the city, otherwise they could be arrested and detained. Nati says she's left with no options.
All I can do is wait, and wait for them to give me another result.
Freddie says he and other Haitian refugees will be continuing to work together over the next few years to help one another navigate daily challenges and advocate for parents detained at Migrant Detention Center Siglo 21.
We don't want kids, you know, keep living, you know, on their own because their parents are in jail, Siglo 21. We want, you know, kids able to go to school. So somehow, you know, we have to keep fighting.
Carlos says he's hopeful for his future, with more opportunities for education here than in Honduras. The shelter he's staying in has its own mini school with a teacher who comes in to teach kids and adults throughout the week.
My goal is first of all to be with my parents. Second, finish the school cycle, go to high school, and then study a trade.
Until he reunites with his father, he says, he'll be in his room.
I mostly like to be alone, locked in my room, taking it easy. Well, in my opinion, it's better to know people from afar. That is, to see them and how they behave, see them as they are, not interact so much with them. Because in my experience, in my life, I have had quite a few people who have hurt me.
In spite of stacked odds and massive delays, young adults and child migrants in Tapachula have no choice but to remain resilient, still waiting and hoping to make it out of the city.